Welcome to Pushing Forward with Alicia, a podcast that gives disability a voice. Each week, we will explore topics like confidence, ambition, resilience, and finding success against all odds. We are creating a collective community that believes that all things are possible for all people. Open hearts, clear paths, let's go. Welcome back to Pushing Forward with Alicia. I'm Alicia. This is our podcast where we're exploring all kinds of cool topics together. And today's special, I've got a very special guest that I'm so excited to introduce you to. My baby sister, my younger sister. I actually have another sister. She's always saying how I only talk about my twins. So
the other sister, Karina,
she's getting the spotlight today. She sent me this report that she did on me. She wrote on me. Gosh, how old were you when you did that, Sissy?
Probably sixth grade.
Sixth grade. Yeah. She was in sixth grade. I was like 26 or something like that. Anyway, she sent me this awesome report that she wrote on me years ago. We read through it together and we're having all these like great memories about that moment in time when she interviewed me. And we were talking about how it was kind of interesting that the content back then and the things that I was saying about sort of advocacy and the path of disability inclusion and just kind of my life and trying to fit in, kind of still the same, huh, Sissy? Like,
definitely. You had some very good points, similar to what you weave into your message today. And it was incredible. I got to interview you, which was very fun. And actually thinking about it, I think I was in eighth grade. So I don't want to age you too much.
That's okay. But, you can age me. At this point, 26 is young. So let's be
right. But I asked you the things that you wanted to accomplish in your life. And it is really special to read that today. We read it just before we started recording and to see that you've gone married, had an incredible career, multiple careers, into your next career moment, bought multiple houses, had multiple dogs. cannot forget the dogs, lived a very full life and accomplished and still accomplishing the things that you wanted to as a young woman. And that is like so special to look back on. I can't even believe I found this report.
You know, what's even more special is that at that young of an age, you were already kind of like interested in telling the story of disability and sharing that with your classmates in kind of a bold way. So I think that says a lot to the normalization of it that was probably in our household. And I don't know, maybe you can talk about how, like, what was the comparison between like having two sisters that are twins, one able-bodied and one with a disability? And like, how was that for you?
Yeah. So I think having a sister with a disability really opened my eyes early in life to everybody is different and everybody has unique qualities that make them special and not to quote you, but uniquely abled to succeed in life. And I really, really look toward our dad who always set the tone. He treated us all the same. There was no specialties given to anyone. Waking up in the morning and seeing you climbing on top of the kitchen counter, putting dishes away was like very common and normal. He was truly just like, get in there, girl. You know, in a lot of ways, like, you know, some things maybe he should have been a little softer on, but I think that for me, just having the inclusion of like always considering you as who you are has really helped me in my life, even as I've aged into an adult. And
do you remember like any certain time where the disability was like, oh, something that was obviously different? Or do you think that it was like always kind of just natural for you? Cause like, I think about the kids in the family now, your adorable son and Regina and Nick's our brother.
We have a brother, spoiler also. Hi, Nick. I love you. Gosh, let me say it first.
But they're in like such this innocent age right now where they don't see my, they really don't see my disability, and they're in that like five-ish range where I think it's going to start. Do you remember any specific time for you that it was ever like different or?
I think I was always just very sensitive to others making you uncomfortable in almost a like very protective way. I didn't like how people would look and stare at you. It really, really upset me so much. To this day, when we're out and about, of course, people will still stare. But I think that's something that really, really always upset me.
Why?
Because I maybe looking back, it was, are they judging you? Are they see you and they instantly make a snap judgment about your life when your life's amazing. They know nothing about you. And the staring and the attention, I just never enjoyed it and never liked it. And I, to this day, when I see someone in a wheelchair and I'm with my son, like, it's so great to be like, oh, it's like Auntie Alicia's and Uncle Marty. And he'll like go right over and say hi and just it be inclusive is like the name of the game for me. And I think growing up with you really made me extra alert to that.
And I think that's probably how, I guess, the realization of like how it was kind of like normalized in our household because we grew up together. But from a society perspective, there's, you know, probably a good amount of people that haven't been exposed to a wheelchair or a specific type of disability that might be different. And because of ableism in our society, we're kind of taught that disability is something that needs to be fixed or it's bad. Yeah. And so people are afraid to like talk about it and share and ask.
See people for people.
There you go.
You again.
And me for me. I like it. Our relationship has just always been very like fluid. I don't remember a time where I ever felt like you looked at me like the disabled sister or anything at all, like not even once ever. So hopefully the kids stay that way too.
Yeah. You know,
because it's such a beautiful freeing thing for me right now for the little ones to like walk up and like grab onto my wheel and say, oh, your wheelchair is so beautiful.
Yes.
And like be very genuine with the way they think and love me for all of me, even my disability as part of who I am. So,
you know, my son who loves like things that go with wheels. So, you know, like he is like, oh my God, like this wheelchair, like he thinks it's the coolest thing ever. And so, you know, hopefully we just continue down that path of acceptance from a young age.
So, and hopefully teach their friends and talk about it, and normalize it in their own circles and kind of like drive home that allyship of like taking what they know and spreading it around. And
in fact, like even, you know, growing up, you're like, oh yeah, like my sister's in a wheelchair and she like goes skiing, you know, like she drives a car, like she does all the things. I think in my own way, just breaking down stigmas of these like really ingrained stigmas. I think I've just always like been on game to do that because I just want people to treat you like, you know, how Regina is treated and I'm treated and Nick is treated, you know, that was like never a question.
Just and shall we call that the work of disabling ableism?
We shall.
I don't know. Do you want to share with the audience a little bit about who you are and like what you do? And
again, my name is Karina, the other sister. I am a director of strategic communications for a technology company in Phoenix. I have a beautiful son and husband. I love fashion, cooking. I love being with my family. and just enjoying, you know, life as much as possible. I love marketing and communications and social media, and I love partnering with my sister as much as possible on her venture.
Your side hustle for marketing with the Alicia Anderson Company, creating our amazing logo and all the cool stuff that you've been doing for the company over the last couple years at this point, which is pretty great.
Yeah. And like my sister said, my mom came along after her mom passed away. And that is also why there is such a big age gap between my siblings and I. And my mom and our dad were married for about like 16 years or so. And we, you know, they split up when I was just a baby. And we somehow, because family is always so important to us, we always remained close and spent a lot of time together growing up. And I feel like for living in a different state, we didn't skip a beat.
This is a perfect time to take a quick break. You are listening to Pushing Forward with Alicia, and we will be right back. We talk a lot on the show about ableism and inclusion. If you want to learn more, I invite you to listen to my TEDx talk, Disabling Ableism, the Modern Pathway to Inclusion. You can watch the whole speech on aliciaanderson.com. That's A-L-Y-C-I-A, Anderson with an O.com. Click on speaking. Welcome back to Pushing Forward with Alicia. I'm Alicia. Very special guest that I'm so excited to introduce you to. My baby sister, my younger sister.
The other sister, Karina.
Let's talk about how we grew up. And
yeah, I always loved it that my sisters were old enough where if something really bad happened that I couldn't tell my mom or dad, I could tell them. And then they would say, no, 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 don't tell that. Or yeah, you need to tell them that. So they were always my sounding board, which is amazing. But so I would spend every summer with my dad, and every other holiday, like for 18 years.
So did we say that our dad and your mom got divorced?
Yes, when I was little.
Okay. Yeah. Really like little.
Three or four.
Were you like three or four?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
they were my mom remained close to
the kids.
My brothers and sisters. And I think that also helped our relationship because she was very supportive of our relationship together, always very supportive of it. So that was important too.
Yeah. So Karina would spend like school months in Tucson and then fly to California and spend the summer with us is basically how it went, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we were really efficient and just like kind of like accepting that's how we maintained our relationships. I don't know, as distant as we were in like geography for most of the year, like we really maintained to be very close.
I have like vivid memories of going over to your Regina's apartment and Papa just dropping me off and leaving me for the weekend and like playing Nintendo and like with all your friends and like eating donuts in the morning when you would sleep in and like,
oh my, I feel like our sisterhood has been very important to me.
Sisterhood, womanhood, siblinghood is, you know, critical and key to, I also think, having the right support system who wants to see you succeed and builds you up or helps you maybe when you like need to catch a grip is also important. Honesty.
Can you remember like one of those times that you want to share that?
One thing that I don't think people know about you is you're also, well, maybe they do, but you were a very impressive businesswoman.
Oh.
And oftentimes, back to like therapists, I feel like you're a coach for, I can think of, you know, five people off the top of my head where you coached them through critical times of their career. And I think just having someone on your side believing in you and saying, like, I see you as a director. I see you as a vice president. You deserve more. You're worth more. You've got this. Is
ask for more.
Ask for more. Always ask for more.
I know when I see you grow in your confidence, your craft, your career, your this, and you get to another level, like, I enjoy watching the joy in you and like the empowerment of that next step. And that just might be the competitive person in me, but I love to see that. It's really awesome. Yeah. But like, I also think like the other part of my childhood was the things that I kind of did alone, right? I see my childhood kind of like on a split screen. One side of it, it was just like very, I'm air quoting, normal. The other side was the like medical stuff that I had to deal with. I felt very like protected and safe with my siblings specifically, you know, like even today, like when we go somewhere, I mean, we just did a sister's trip a few weeks ago. And like, I don't worry about like if there's going to be an accessibility problem or if I'm going to not be able to get in a bathroom or the shower won't work or
the chairlift won't open.
Yeah. You know, like
one never knows
whether that lift is going to work or not. We're getting into that winery. We don't care. We're going in. I think the beauty about growing up with my siblings is that as long as I live, when we're together, like I never worry about finding a space to be fully accepted and included. It's really, really nice. It's one of the genuine, holistic, mm-hmm. inclusive, loving spaces that I have.
I have like this vivid memory with you. I don't know if you really even remember, but we were sitting in your room at Castlegate and you were missing your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And you found her letters that she wrote you. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
And in her letter, she said, I hope your dad will move on and meet a woman and have more babies. Mm. And I've always felt a little bit of like sadness because, you know, your mom passed away way too young. And, you know, it always made me feel like, well, she knew I was coming or something. She knew I was going to be on my way. And it made me feel like connected to her in a way, and that you were sharing these like special, really moving letters with me. I'll never forget it for as long as I live.
Her passing away as young as she did brought you into this world. And it also, which is powerful and beautiful and amazing and joyful and all of it, you know, and then like her passing away also provided me, and this is selfish on my part, but it provided me comfort when I was alone, like going onto operating tables and having surgeries and being in the hospital alone for weeks. And, yeah. You know, like I was never afraid. Like, I think two things, like Papa always taught me to not be afraid. I think that was his way to cope with having a kid with a disability, like mm-hmm. just go in and do it. And he taught me to do that. And that's what I do. Go, just go yeah. do it, you know,
right.
And it's just yeah. part of life. And, yeah. Then I always had her to lay there with, you know, like I never felt alone, even though I was alone a lot of it.
Yeah. I was going to say one other thing about your mom.
Okay. Because
I think she pops up also at like special times.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember when we were walking? Also, our sister had like the longest labor ever. That is like another time for another story, and she can get into it if she wants, but it was very long. And Alicia and I were walking back into the hospital and we saw a family. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
And we saw a dad and a mom who had cancer and a little girl in a wheelchair. And it was like, really powerful to see that when we were rolling into Ciela. And
the little girl was probably, so my mom, for anyone that's listening that doesn't know, she passed away when my sister Regina and I were 7 years old and my brother Nick was two, from leukemia. And so when we ran into this mom,
we stopped and said hello and they were lovely. And when we were going into the hospital, we were both like almost stunned that
it was almost like a glimpse of my life that I can't remember.
It was really something. So I think Marsha really shines on and shines bright, especially in specific moments. So
yeah, she's been like her impact on my life, really our lives. You know, she's the one that advocated for me when I was that little girl, pushing in to get care, and advocated for me to be independent, advocated for me to be in tennis, and advocated for me to like have some foundational independence before she passed away. And her impact has been massive. And she had really a very short time on earth. But I think that's a lesson to all of us that let's make it count while we're here. Like, what can we do? You know, and that's probably like in my path right now, what I'm trying to do is make it count while I can.
I think you're well on your way, sis.
Sis, it's been so fun to have you. Thank you so much for being a guest on Pushing Forward with Alicia. You know how we like to end the show.
So I know.
This is your moment. Do you have any advice or a mantra, a pushing forward moment that you can gift out to our listeners and our community to inspire them in their lives and in their paths in some way?
What a great question. This is my favorite part of your podcast series. So I've been thinking long and hard about what my pushing forward note would be. And I'm going to throw it back to my grandma, Addie, my mom's mom. When I was growing up, sitting at the kitchen table doing homework, she would always tell me, like the little engine that could, I think I can. She instilled in me a drive to never, ever give up, even when things were very difficult in math homework. but I really have that messaging to my core of who I am today. And anytime things get hard, I just dig my heels down and think to myself, I think I can. That's beautiful.
I love it. Dig your heels in. I think I can.
And you do. Exactly.
Sissy, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for being a part of this. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too.
And thank you so much to our listeners and our community that keeps growing every week. Please help us continue to grow it, by the way. Please share the podcast, like it, leave a review. We appreciate all the love, and you're really helping us amplify the amazingness of this podcast. So thank you to all of our listeners who keep showing up every single week. See you next time. This is Pushing Forward with Alicia. That is how we roll on this podcast. If you're an employer who would like to learn more about disability inclusion in the workplace, lessons on ableism, and how accessibility can drive innovation in your company, please check out my micro training series at aliciaanderson.com. That's AlyciaAnderson.com. Click on micro learning.